I think this art, I think Elder Allison will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is part 145.
Yes, sir.
Of Abounding Winds. Part 145 of this wonderful, wonderful series that we've been under. And I'm telling you, I don't know when it's going to end. But we'll see. We will absolutely see here. Let's see. I think I'm in the right study here. Today I want to talk to you about dialogue being at the post. There is dialogue at the post, and not just dialogue, but there's dialogue and there is water at the post. And I'm trying to see where my notes are here. Okay, here we go. There's dialogue and there is water at the post. And I want to talk to you about this this wonderful, wonderful experience that this woman at the well had with Jesus. But before I get into that, I'm going to go ahead and describe to you just one quick area in Mark 4, picking up off of Thursday, dealing with the Lord was dealing with us being trained, and we went back and went over some things to really recondition our minds and to get us back on in the flow of it. Mark 4 reveals the post. In every subject that we study, we always are able to find it in Mark 4. Amen.
Amen.
And Mark 4 actually reveals the revelation of the post. I'm going to read from Mark 4, 24 through 26 in the Amplified, just to show you a further proof about the necessity of being consistent. It's so necessary. If I have an off night and I'm an off day or whatever, it doesn't mean that I can't get up and go again to the post. There has to be a consistency. Remember, we're in the process of absolute change, and we're in the process of being transformed into a realm of authentic faith. I heard Evangelist Benita saying that several times today. And it's the absolute truth. The declarations were on point. The prayer continuation was also chosen on point. And so we are really in this. There is one last press. I know it's the truth of being really birthed out into the lifestyle of going to the post of his doors. And Mark 4 really did reveal it. It's always been there. In Mark 4, verse 24, it says in the AMPC, it says, "And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure," listen to this, "the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear." Look at what comes out of going to the, we've been talking about the knowledge of his glory. And it talks to us here, it says, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will determine the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And then more besides will be given to you who hear. Watch this key verse here. "For to him who has will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has, will be taken away by force." Notice the words virtue and knowledge. The awareness of his glory was always waiting for us since the rhema of Mark 4. God has always been trying to reveal the knowledge of his opinion. He's all that this is the whole mystery. In fact, we have to note this, really important. We know Mark 4 reveals the mystery of the kingdom. So when we take the truth that we're hearing, when we're going to the post, we're to pick up what we've been hearing. And I've been saying this throughout the series, and many others that have been plugging in and teaching have been saying it as well. Kurt is always referencing it in his teachings, how important it is to stay right there in the truth that we're under. Listen to verse 26 again. "For to him who has will more be given." And I said this on Thursday, but I really want to really map it out, frame it out for you real fast. For him who has, what am I taking to the post? What I already have. What is God adding to? what I already have. For to him who has, will more be given. So now, what is the more that I'm getting? The more that I'm getting is the instruction at the post, but it's coming out of what I already have. Amen. It's birthing out. My more is coming from what I have. I don't change my study to get to the post. I stay under the study and allow God to give me more to what I already have. And that becomes the post experience. That becomes where now God is adding more to you there. Jesus begins to add more to us there through by breaking it down and giving us instruction. But it's always going to come out. You will find great success. It will come out of what you've been hearing. So now virtue and knowledge are birthing out there. That speaks to me of glory. All right, so be careful what we are hearing. It's important. For the glory, his opinion will only be revealed in the truth we are hearing. So the study becomes the pathway to the post. The manifest experience at the post is when, as I stated, more is given to them that has. More indicates the release of his instruction. The key is to take that which you have, as I stated, already been given with you to the post. Don't change the process. Amen?
Amen.
We're not to change the process. No matter what, don't change the process. You will be cleansed. Watch me now. Even after times of mistakes, of going out of the boundaries, you're going to be cleansed by what you have. Don't change and look for a word to match your situation or match what you just did or what you're going through. Stay where you are. Don't change because he's given you a light and a lamp that will guide you. The word, the now word, is a lamp under our feet. I believe it's a light under unto our pathway. You already have what you need. Don't change it. Stay in the constant or the consistent study of the now word. Why? Because we're living in now faith. Amen. Now faith has to have the now word. So now, we must remember that Mark 4 is the mystery. Mark 4 is this is the roadmap. This is the mystery of how to live and walk in the kingdom. Why do I say live and walk? Because the Bible says if you live in the spirit, you need to walk therein too. So living and walking, living and progressing, living and moving forward comes from this mystery. It calls us to abide and to continue to move forward. So now the revelation of the post has been here all this time. It's in Mark 4. And take note of that, Mark 4, 24 through 26 in the AMPC, it really reveals life at the post. Amen. It confirms strongly all that we've been learning and all that we've been hearing. It really confirms it in these three verses. And it says unto them, and he said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has, will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. And so that just adds to what we've been getting into, that more intimate training about how to move and live and really, really process daily at the post. It just adds to you, gives you a little bit more. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So now we pick up here about there's dialogue and water at the post. I believe I'm coming out of John 4. I didn't note it. John chapter 4. I think I go through verse 5 through 26, I think. And then we'll reference verse 28 as well. But we're going to look at this whole account. I believe I pick up at verse 5 through 26. So here we go. In John chapter 4, verse number 5, this is the story of the woman at the well. I love I love her ignorance. I know you're probably saying, what? She has this natural, wonderful ignorance of Jesus. And in her ignorance, it gives her this freedom to dialogue with him. This woman's in the midst of a post-experience and doesn't even know it. And it's like she's going back and forth. I mean, come on. Can you imagine going back and forth with Jesus? Can you imagine having that type of conversation? We do it with each other all the time. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of it, in the midst of you. Why then do we change the dialogue when we're coming to the post? Why is it more of a monologue? And I know we need to be listening, but Jesus isn't just the one that he's not just there to just talk. There is a place where dialogue is opening up to us. And we need to utilize that. We need to open up and begin to speak and to express under the same temperament, mind you, under the same temperament, under his temperament is where we speak to him from. And this woman, I mean, I love her ignorance because she just freely just, I mean, almost feels like she's kind of trash talking, but she's not. And everything she says, she's being honest. She's being truthful. So here we go. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. There is dialogue and water at the post. All right, just listen here. It says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Jesus just starts right in. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Listen to the woman's ignorance. She says to him, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she's ignorant to the fact that she's under, he's drawing her into a post experience. And it tells you she's ignorant because he's speaking to her of spiritual things and she's answering in the natural. So her experience hasn't yet kicked in, because the experience at the post begins with rhema, and nothing he said to her has become rhema to her yet. So she's freely just answering like this. And again, there's a beauty behind her ignorance. It says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst. That was that word right there. This is the one that triggered this experience. This is the one. Whosoever drinketh of this water, he says, shall thirst again. Verse 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. That word thirst started kicking in. Now, something went off in her when she heard that word. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now the woman is engaged at the post. He spoke right to her because she had a thirst that was not for water. So when he used the word thirst, it set her off right there. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That word thirst triggered it. It was that post experience had now really begun. Amen. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Listen to the woman now. After the word thirst came, now she's engaged. The woman saith unto him, look at this now. She's at the post and dialoguing. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Give me this. She heard it because there's something that triggered in her. She didn't want to be in the bondage she was in. She didn't want to be that woman that was sleeping with dude to dude to dude and going around in this circle of promiscuity. She didn't want that. So when he talked about quenching a thirst, it hit her soul. It did not hit her in a place of a natural. It woke her up. But now she's hungry for what he said. She's hungry to find the solution, but she's dialoguing with him there. And you have to be willing at the post when he says something and reveals something to you. Show forth your hunger. Show forth your allegiance and your agreement to that word and conversate about it. Yes, Lord, I see this. Yes, Lord, I see that. Oh, my God, yes. Give me this. You're ministering this to me here at the post. You're telling me this. Now, the dialogue has now begun. Tell them how you agree and how yes and amen, you want this to take place just like that. But then the dialogue won't stop there for us. The dialogue will actually open up to where now you've agreed in what he said. We've been referencing this since the series almost began, where you open up an amen him, and now he wants to open an amen you.
Amen.
The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call. Now here comes the water. In the agreement, in her opening her mouth and saying, Yes, I agree. I want that water. Now Jesus begins to pour the water at the post. He begins to quench her now. He says, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well. Note that word well right there. Note that there. Bold that out if you're taking notes. Well, he said, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou art, or thou now hast, is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. Note that word right there, truly. We'll bold that out if you're watching my screen. He said that you saidest that truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, listen to the dialogue. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. My goodness, just imbibe that. You can begin to express who you know him to be. You can begin to tell him, I know you have the ability. I know you have the power. I know you have the strength. I perceive that you are the Christ. I know you know all things concerning me. There's dialogue here. It says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23 says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus saith unto her, listen to that. You can see it now. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. That was it. We all know the rest of the story. We know what happens after that. We know exactly what went on after that. She went and evangelized. The Bible says she went to the men and evangelized them. But what happened was that there was a major, major dialogue going on. There was questions. I'm just trying to open you up to let you know you can ask questions at the post. You can receive answers to the things that you need at the post. As long as when he triggers that one thing and sets that word off, he instructs the area that he is delivering and he is dealing with in you. And my goodness, her response now. First of all, let's look at how when he triggered her with the word thirst. Listen to the definition of thirst. When he used the word thirst, this is what went on. The word thirst in the Greek means those who are said to thirst, who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened.
Amen.
See, her soul was refreshed, supported, and strengthened, living in her promiscuous ways. And because of that, that thirst was there. She didn't want that bondage any longer. So there was an exchange right there that was made. He had drew her in by constructing an area of her life that was in darkness for years. One word, that's all. We've been saying it all through the series. Just one word will change everything. When he mentioned thirst, it reached her soul. And she dialogued from there.
Amen.
There was an open exchange of words, questions, answers she needed. And my goodness, he dialogued with her. And then what he did was pour water into her. When she said, give me this water, immediately he dials right in on it. Go call thy husband. Oh, I'm touching you now in the area of your thirst that has held you in bondage. I'm touching you. Water's being poured at the post by a dialogue that he's having back and forth with her. Go call thy husband. I have no husband. So when the Lord spoke to her about her thirst, the post experience had begun. She knew she had an issue with being promiscuous. He tapped right into her thirst, and hence the dialogue begins. Don't shut down at the post. I want you to stand still. I want you to quit yourself. I want you to be strong. I want you to be confident. I want you to act like a son and a daughter to the Father, is what really God is saying to us. I don't want just to act like I'm this supreme being here and that I'm going to tell you this and then you're going to do thus. No, talk to me here at the post.
Amen.
Speak to me under my temperament, under my influence. But dig into your own soul and tell me what you need. Tell me what water you want me to pour. Tell me what's going on. Dialogue with me here. Open yourselves up. Again, I love this woman's ignorance. Her ignorance. In her ignorance, she was able to be free. And we got to kind of become ignorant to how we view this relationship with Christ at the post. We got to be open. We got to say what's really on our minds and what really does bring concern, not by way of fear or anxiety. Do it under his temperament, but do it maturely. She is in the midst of a post experience and doesn't really even know it. We could take a page from her book of ignorance. We need to be more free in our conversation at the post. We need to receive instruction and ask questions about the things that concern us. Mm. Not from fear, but from faith, which is temperament.
Amen.
She had a whole conversation in the midst of her deliverance. She was being delivered and yet conversating, learning him even more. Kind of feeling that this might be the Christ. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can probe. And he tells me she's in the midst of that. You can probe around with him. You can move around with him. You're free. You can say the things that you need to say, and he will answer. He will give you the deepest truth that there is. She said, hey, what are you doing here? This is where we worship. You guys are supposed to be worshiping somewhere else. And he said, woman, the time is coming and now is. And he's hitting it so good. He's hitting it, I mean, nail on the head. He's hitting it so good with her. Because what happens, oh my goodness. He said that the hour is coming and now is, that true worshipers will worship in the spirit and in truth. She was right there. He was letting her know, because of the truth you're in, watch, I'm going to show you right now. Because of the truth you're in, you're really in worship. You're really in worship. Watch this. when water is being poured, we need to be in two positions. He said two different things. He said that she answered well and answered truly. Those are the two positions we need to be in, where we're answering well and we're answering truly. Jesus said she answered well and truly. The word well means rightly. Watch this. When he broke her down and he hit the nail on the head concerning her thirst, she answered well when she said, "I have no husband." The word well means rightly. It also means she answered in a way so that there was no room for blame. Because she was so upfront with it. She was not being high-minded when she said it. She wasn't being facetious, like, "And what you gonna say? What you got to do?" No. She was like, "This is my moment. I feel it. This is my time of deliverance. I can tell something is happening to me. I've never been able to talk to someone like this." So when she answered in the manner where the word well means that there would be no room for blame. When God reveals something and Christ reveals something at the post, answer truly, answer well. When you answer well, when he shows you the area, there's no room for blame. You're hiding nothing. Open yourself completely up to it. You ever go through something that you're releasing, but you're only releasing a part of it, but you know you're still holding on to some of it in your soul? Well, when this woman answered, she held on to nothing.
Amen.
She didn't hold on to any part of it. She did not try to store a little bit away for later on. She didn't try to hide this over here so she could go back to it and go back and then rebuild and start all over again in her mess. No. When she answered well. So there would be no room for blame. Her answer about having no husband came from a place of total honesty. It left no room for blame. And the Bible says she also answered truly. It means, the word truly means as not concealing. But I love the second part of the definition, loving the truth. She was loving the truth that she was hearing out of his mouth. So when Jesus said, "You answered truly," that you answered truly. When you said you had no husband, that you have answered truly. Meaning you were loving the truth that was setting you free. Oh, yes, Lord. You got to be in those positions where the truth that you're hearing at the post is, my goodness, that's how it becomes what you love more than the very thing that's been holding you in bondage. She answered not concealing. She answered not concealing. You let me tell you something, people, and trust you me, I've been here, done that. You can answer in the truth, but still conceal what you're saying. I didn't think you heard that, did you? You can answer truly, yeah, but still conceal. You can say it, but you know you're not going to stop it. You'll tell him the truth. See, no. There's a different dimension here. And that's why dialoguing is very important, because it opens you all the way up. Dialoguing, that even as you're saying, "Yes, Lord, this is an issue," but you're saying it, but then you got to be able to say, "But Lord, I don't know how to let this go. I don't know how to stop thus and thus." You got to be able to dig into your own soul and still say, "Lord, I'm here at the post with you. I still feel, although you have instructed, I still feel the attachment. I still feel the power that it has over me." When this woman answered, she was gutted like a fish. Nothing was concealed.
So good.
She was wide open. And she was receiving and loving the truth. That's why it's important, I'm telling you, to dialogue. To dialogue, open up. Because my goodness, sometimes he does pour out instruction. Sometimes he does reveal. And sometimes you still don't know how to release. But when you open your mouth and you go deep into the dialogue, Go deeper. Talk to him. I hear you, Jesus. Yes. I hear you, Lord. I hear it. I know. I want that. How? Give me this what? If there's still thirst, I know you've said this, but there's still thirst. Give me this water. Reach the very depths of my soul so that I don't thirst again. There's dialogue at the post, and the more dialogue you give, the more water he'll pour. The more water he'll pour. She said, I have no husband, but she didn't say in having no husband that she wasn't going to go back and be promiscuous. But she said what she knew was true. I don't have a husband. But she wanted the water that would take away the thirst for that promiscuous lifestyle. And you got to be open at the post. And in your openness, there's a dialogue there. A mature dialogue under his temperament. Amen.
Amen.
She was finally able to speak from a place where she was loving the truth. She could feel that her freedom was nigh. And my goodness, when you feel it's there, you got to grab it with everything you've got. You've got to grab it. You've got to receive it. After all these years of bondage, deliverance was at her door. You have to fall in love with the truth as water is being poured at the post. You've got to, that's got to be what's quenching. That's got to take the position. And the more dialogue you open up to and the more truth you tell concerning even that which he's revealing it, go all the way there with it. Go all the way there with it. Now, there was an exchange that took place for her. And I believe, Elder Donna, you referenced, you taught on this in back in the day. There's an exchange here. And the verse in John 4:28, you can see the exchange. It says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now, that is a powerful verse right there. The word water pot, first of all, means receptacle for family supply. And as I said, I believe, Elder Donna, you taught on this before. She left the receptacle for family supply. So the woman left what her means of survival. She left her means of survival for her and her family, the very thing she used to quench her thirst and which brought her sustenance. She left it there. There's an exchange. The very water pot that those two were talking about, almost arguing about in the beginning, in a cute way, I mean that, not in a serious way, going back and forth over it. She's like, you ain't got nothing to draw.
Amen.
He's like, woman, give me water. And they're going back and forth with about this very thing that she knows she's got power. She's got what it takes to get water. And now the very thing she's bragging she has, and him being a Jew has nothing to do anything. She left her family's supply. She left the means of getting their supply. There's an exchange that has been made. Why? Because what he poured into her was water that would spring up into everlasting life. So the family receptacle had no more value to her any longer. There's an exchange that had been made. When you dialogue at the post, hear me now, there will be a real exchange. For the very thing you thought you needed to survive, you will be able to let it completely go because you'll make the exchange. As long as you open up your mouth and dialogue, speak your truth about where you really are. You'll leave what you thought was sustaining you. You'll release what you thought was helping you to survive. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen. Amen.
The woman left what her means of survival for her and her family. She left it. Christ had become her new water pot. She would live by him and his opinion and not by hers any longer. There was a major exchange made there. It's unbelievable that when she left that supply, the very thing that she was getting supply from, she went to exchange. The Bible says, when your obedience has been fulfilled, get ready to take revenge on all disobedience. She went right to where she was disobeying and attacked the source of her problem.
Amen.
The Bible says she went her way into the city and saith to the men.
Yes.
This woman confronted her bondage and then got all her bondage saved because they went and heard Jesus for themselves. What a powerful transition. What a powerful moment. What a powerful what a powerful view that we get at what takes place at the post. The real exchange comes through dialogue. It comes through the conversation. It really does. So you'll get ready to leave your supply behind. Your supply to me just, it's indicative to your opinion. It's get ready to leave your own opinion. If you really want a post experience, hang out with him, hear his instruction, then dialogue, speak to him, ask questions, let him probe deeper, let him see all. Don't conceal anything. Take the position of being well answering and truthfully answering. Take those positions. Take them on. Fully open yourself up. And the only way I know you can do that is by opening up your mouth and telling him the exact truth of your circumstance, of the things you want changed. And that's all I got for you today. But you need to understand there is dialogue and there's water at the post.
Hallelujah.
It's available. It's all there. And my goodness, you're not bound. You're not bound. You're not bound. You can open up. You can speak. That's exactly what he wants. He wants authenticity across the board. He really and truthfully does. He really does. He really does. Come on and lift those hands before the Lord, if you will. Lift those hands high before the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Master. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory today, Jesus. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the insight. We thank you, Lord God, for the truth that you've given us concerning the dialogue that can be had. And the more the dialogue, the more water gets poured. There's more freedom that should be moving in our lives than what we've ever known before. There's more freedom here, Lord God, and there's freedom with you. You are our Father. And we need to start, I mean, just from that alone.
Yes, Lord.
We have to understand that you being our Father gives us the right to speak with you. It gives us the rights to open up and to be completely honest, hiding nothing. You already know it anyway, but you want to see that we're not concealing things. Just like that woman did. She told her entire truth, but she was loving what she was feeling. Something was happening, and help us, Lord God, to be discerning to when we know you're giving us instruction. Something is happening. It will secure us. It will hold us in position until we are delivered out of whatever it is we might be going through. We can trust it. It's not going to fail. It's not going to allow us to thirst for things that we shouldn't be thirst. No, it will quench the thirst. Help us not to be afraid of having our thirst quenched in another way other than what we're familiar with. Help us to trust your living water that we're receiving at the post. Help us to trust it, Lord God, that it will have power to deliver, power to quench. If we don't trust it, Lord, we won't open ourselves up in dialogue. But if we trust the living water, if we have a revelation that, oh my God, the thirst that I once had has now been quenched.
Jesus.
Help us to see it.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord God, to position ourselves in well answers that are well, and answers that are true. Help us to be in that same position she was in. She saw the light at the end, and she was running toward it. She's like, if you can quench this thirst, then I'm down with it. And she ran for it.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord God, to run for the truth, for the living water that you're pouring at the post. Help us to be open in our dialogue. Help us not to fear anymore.
Yes, sir.
No matter what has to be uttered, no matter how far we've got to go, help us, Lord God, in our utterance.
Yes.
Until your instruction removes the burden, until the word becomes a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. Help us to dialogue. That's a part of our faith now. It's a part of our faith. Reminds me of Abraham when he questioned you about the cities you were about to destroy. If there'd be 200 men, yes. What about 100? Yes. And you went all the way down. If there's 10 righteous in the city, yes. He asked questions. It was a dialogue. He wanted to know how far you were willing to go. Help us, Lord God, to find the lowest common denominator in the spirit through dialoguing with you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we give you praise for it, Master. In Jesus' mighty name. Elder Allison says amen and amen for dialogue. Elder Donna says, wow, Lord God. Sister Wanda says, addicted to truth and his presence now. Freedom in truth. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, there is. Freedom in truth. And if we're going to break out, if we're going to be all that God wants us to be,
hallelujah.
Dialogue with him at the post. Dialogue with him. Speak to him. Without fear, speak to him. Oh, Master, I give you praise. Amen. Amen.